The judges are at work. He goes to the gate of the federal secretariat, and sees the time you will arrive. He will see the time you will leave. He will see how long the fire stays on your table before he moves to the next table. And whether they have to oil the fire with 500, 1,000, 2,000. Do you know how many people have eaten their destiny while they are oiling the fire to move from one table to the other? Their destiny, your work can't come out. So God said, Gabriel, how is he doing? He said, about God, I'm ashamed to say, yeah, he got only 5% last year. Can we promote him? And Gabriel said, thou knowest, Lord, he's not promotable. He's all right. Get 2 demons to demote him. So he will go and tell Pastor, Pastor, I don't know what is happening. And Pastor is such a faithful brother. Brothers, we shall pray. Holy Ghost, fire. The blood of Jesus. They said, use that blood to cleanse his attitude towards his work first. Are you seeing what I'm saying? What I want to emphasize there. How do we work outwardly for God? This is how it is. Read SOS, Songs of Solomon chapter 1. It said, my brothers made me keep their vineyard. My own vineyard I have not kept. This is what I have noticed about ministries today. That is, Christians and churches. They tend to keep the pastor's vineyard and never keep their own. I don't know whether I understand my point. It's because of wrong thinking. They think that's the only work that is God. That is God's. Therefore, the man will regularly neglect his work that he's working for government because that's not the work of God. He looks at his job in the bank as where I make money to go and use to serve God. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is where I make money to go and use to serve God. He works in one company. He looks at that company as where I make money that I will use to serve God. So God, please, wait. I want to go and make money so as to serve you. But you know what God is saying? No, my brethren, no, my children, no. That work is my work of service. That is where you are serving me. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. That is where you are serving me. When you are doing business, you are not making money to go and use to serve. Oh gosh, I wish you understand what I'm saying. That business is the work you are doing for me. That is why you cannot sell fake products. You can't. That is why you can't cheat your customer. That's why you can't sell something to him that you know he does not need. Because it is like me preaching a gospel that I know is not true. I wish Christians would understand that. That's why if I gave you this pulpit here to build, the same way Pastor Banky will not be satisfied if he wrongly interprets the scriptures, you also should be dissatisfied if he comes and tells you that this edge is not smooth. I hope you are getting my point. That is a carpentry work. As you are planing the wood, as you are measuring it, you are measuring as unto the Lord. Oh gosh. You make clothes. A man wears your suit. You should go and peep at him and tell somebody, what does it look like? Say, man, that guy's suit is clean. Don't say anything. Thank you. Go away. That is, you know you made it as unto the Lord. You're not a tailor to make money to serve God. No. You are a tailor unto the Lord. I wish you get the point. You're not a mechanic to make money to serve God. You are repairing cars as if the Lord were going to drive the cars himself. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. Listen to this. You are not a film star because they pay a lot of money. Oh, let me use you. You're not an actor, yes. Because they pay a lot of money and then you can now use it to serve the Lord. The acting must affect the cultures around you. You must be out there portraying your faith. I'm not saying you go and preach. You know Christian movies. Praise the Lord. Ah, sister, good morning. Have you prayed today? Eh. That's not what a Christian movie is necessarily. Are you getting my point? There's no reason why being a believer and a producer, you are not as skilled as Steven Spielberg. There's no reason. For the believer, there is no difference between something is secular and something is spiritual. The gift that God has put in your hands is spiritual. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. The gift, the work that God gave you is spiritual. Look, if I say this, I hope I don't sound anti-establishment, because that's not the issue. I just need to balance the misbehaviors of Christians. The day of judgment, there are those that God will ask, where were you the day this man was supposed to drive this car and the car didn't work? And you were the mechanic to do the work. He gave you the car for 3 days. You were not there. He said, sir, what happened was that we needed to go to church to go and clean, because we had a special something. So we were there cleaning. Okay, after the first day of cleaning, the second day, he said it was time to paint the church. He said, did I not give you money? Why didn't you give them money to hire a painter? Ah, I said, ah, Lord, we needed to paint it with holy hands. He said, God will look at you and say, I gave you a vineyard. You did not keep it. You were keeping another vineyard that I did not give you. You know why? I don't want to sound anti-establishment. All right, that I'm not going to discourage people from doing the work of ministry. Assisting in church and all of that. But I think Christians misbehave a lot. They have only a reputation of good behavior when it comes to their church, a ministry. Meanwhile, Paul said something. If you want to appoint a man as an overseer, make sure he has a good reputation outside. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. What I'm saying, I hope it is clear to you. I want to understand something. No, this is just by the way, just this joke I've told a number of times, something that really happened. I sat here one day, one young man came to see me. I've not seen him in a long time. He had issues, he and his father. He has had serious problems and all that. His father gave him... Anyway, something happened, he was having problems. So I think what happened was that his father gave him money. And he had not paid his school fee, so he was really having distress. And I said, are you a very good Christian young man? I said, your father gave you money for your fees. I said, I suspect you use that money for evangelism. He looked at me and said, yes, sir. I said, you're a rogue. He looked at me and started laughing. I said, you're a rogue. Listen, your father gave you money. Do you work? He said, no. You don't work? No. You don't work? He said, no. Fine. Your father gave you money to go and pay fees. You said you need to buy handouts. He gave you money. He gave you the whole money together. And because you were the head of the crusade team of your fellowship, you guys went to go and do evangelism in a neighboring village. And the moron that you are, you took the money your father gave you to go and pay fees, to go and pay for hiring equipment, because it is the work of God. I said, what do you think your education is? The work of Satan. I said, what are you going to do? It's simple. You will go home, because God has mercy on ignorant people like you. You will go home and go and prostrate fully. In case you don't know how to do it, I'm adding this one now. You're going to look for one Yoruba boy around to teach you how they prostrate properly in the presence of the king. When you go home, crawl like that to your father and say, I have sinned. Say simply, Daddy, I was confused. The money you gave me for fees, I wanted to use it to serve God. I forgot that obedience to my father is service to God. Please forgive me, I won't do it again. I went to give a brother a pair of shoes once. He was wearing these tattered, ugly, ungodly shoes. And he mounted the pulpit and said, praise God. And he said, praise God, now the shoe had a look. Who is praising God, your mouth or the shoe? So I said, okay, let us close up the shoes. So I called him. I told him how much they sold decent shoes. I told him, take this money. Help me go to the market. I said, am I older than you? Yes. I senior you well for this life. Spiritually, physically, every form. Yes, good. Now, I, your senior brother in the faith, is sending you, junior boy, to market. He said, yes, sir. You will take this money. You go and help me, Pastor Banky,
buy a pair of shoes. I need two things from you. Make sure, number one, you like it. And number two, make sure it is your size. But it's not your shoe. I hope you understand. He said, yes, sir. Go and buy it. When you finish buying it, you wear it. I said, you know why to do it like that? Because if I gave you the money, go and buy shoes. Now, you first go and pay it tight. Then the money won't be complete again to buy the shoe. I said, the money not going to complete again to buy shoe. He laughed. I said, so please, for records, if you take a naira out of this money until you have bought those shoes, before you buy those shoes, you have sinned against me. So he went to the market, bought the shoes, wore them and came to show me. I said, nice, it fits you. You can now I dash you. Show me how you will tight the shoe now. You go call scissors, cut away part of the leather. He said, pastor, chew this one. It's part of the tight. Because you see, we think God only exists in one place. We don't know that as we are walking on the road, you are crossing the road as unto the Lord. And you are driving. You are a bus driver. You think you are the only one going somewhere. You drive wrong, scratch somebody's car because you are in a hurry. You are sinning against God. You jump queues anywhere because you know people. Yeah, when you get to church, praise the Lord, you obey the usher so crazily. But once you read the road, you are the typical area boy that you've always been. But when you enter church, yes, sir. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. What did you say? I should sit right here. Amen. What have I not explained? How do we work for God outside? Let me tell you. God has a primary assignment for your life. For you to be faithful in the work he has given you, whether it's spiritual in your eyes or secular in your eyes, is the first work that you have for God. Young people, your first work for God is at home. Students, your first work for God is in school. Workers, your first work for God is in the place where you work. Are you getting my point? It is good to volunteer because there's something about the word of God. And let me just quickly say this, important. There's a special... He said, those who labor in word and in doctrine, they are worthy of what? Double honor. Now, that tells me something. I believe every Christian should participate one way or another in the propagation of the gospel. Are you getting what I'm saying? I believe that. But God has not allowed me right now to focus on that side of it because apparently we have heard too much of that. We have left the other side. Which, let me tell you, the day of judgment. Do you know there's a judgment day coming? There are two judgment days, all right? The first judgment day is the judgment day that's always happening every other day in your life. What I mean is that there's judgment day for how you lived as a young man when it will affect what you'll be like as an old man, all right? But at the end of everything, there is a final judgment day in which God judges. This is the interesting part. He said books were opened. Another book was opened. Now, he described the fact that the saints, all right, I'm putting many things together, were judged according to the things written in the books. Different from those who are just checking whether their name is in the book of life, all right? Now, how does God judge? We'll go out of time, we can't read everything. If you read Psalm 40 and Psalm 130, I think 136 or 139, now just escape me. He explained that, I won't read it, but let me just quickly be sure I got the Psalm right. When he said, thou didst form my own what part? I will give thanks to thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And wonderful, that's 139, all right? Okay. You will see that in verse 16, that it said, thy eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when I said there was not one of them. You will see this how God judges. Let me say this quickly to us, again, because I've said it several times. God doesn't record sin in heaven. The day of judgment, sins are not brought up. Your sin shall soon find you out. That is true. But not the way you are thinking. They won't say, we have caught you now, boy. Welcome. Sit down. Sometimes they will now play a film of your life and show all the places you went you were not supposed to go to. All the girls you took out that you were not supposed to touch. All the monies you ate that was not your own. All the lie you lie where they don't catch you now. And that day you not be like, God, I'm very sorry. I don't think God has time to be recording the number of lies you tell. You have told in the lifetime. Actually, he doesn't have the time. You know what sin does? Sin is the reason why people don't do the will of God. That's the summary. Sin is the reason. If you're a liar, you will lie yourself out of destiny. If you are a cheat, you will cheat your destiny. You will cheat yourself. Now, you think you are cheating somebody else, but you are cheating yourself. If you are covetous, you can't obey the call of God for your life. Like I said earlier, if you are the woman that says that, I'm looking for a man who will take care of me, you can never find a man God ordained for you to marry. Because God sent no man to take care of you. You are not a project. Yeah, you're not a project. You are as much a child of God as the man you want to take care of you. Both of you were called by God to fulfill his purpose on the earth. So you marry a man who together you can fulfill the purpose of God. And believe me, if God could not have given somebody like me a wife to take care of. Because I have too much work to do as things are right now. You shouldn't add another person to it. If she cannot help me, God, may I not marry? I know as a matter of fact. And I thank God my wife is really, really helping in everything. If you see, like Bishop will say, if I don't have peace at home, I can't preach properly. You see a pastor come and say, praise the Lord. Your enemies are in trouble. It's his wife. You see all that one, eh? He has to vent his anger somewhere. There are those who say, today we are going to pray. Every offense in your life is because they stole his money. So, you see, he's angry with the thief. So he has come today, and this is the place where he has the power. So all of you will join him in destroying the thief. So a lot of men who pray angry prayers is their wives. Instead of preaching a balanced doctrine. All these women that will not respect their husbands. Look at it. God, your judgment day is coming. Your judgment day is... It's the girl that won't let him have peace at home. What am I saying? This is what happens when you do things that are wrong. You are unable to find the right divine course for life. So when you make up your mind that I will marry a man that will take care of me, the man that God said two of you should take care of work, take care of life, take care of the assignments I have for both of you, he will come. But at that time, he won't be able to take care of you. You know why? Because actually, he did not think you were a project in life, so he wasn't preparing to take care of you. Are you getting my point? Therefore, that's what sin does, all right? You will miss him for that reason. What does sin do? It doesn't let the businessman see the opportunity that God is giving to him. You know what happens? This is what Satan does. He will tell you, just turn the figure like this. Look, which one did we tell them? We told them that these towels will supply pure cotton, 10,000 pieces. And the unit cost 100 naira. Now, boy, we have this Christmas is coming. We have to make money. Let's cut it down to 65% cotton. Put 35% polyester. They won't know the difference. It will work. No be to clean face. It will work. It will work. That's 1 million naira extra. You know, there's this group of people that God left there to be helping corrupt people become more corrupt. They are called Chinese people. All right, you go there. You say, how much? So I make this one for you, $5. He said, I don't have $5. He said, okay, remove the cotton inside, put polyester. The Chinese man will put color of cotton, smell of cotton, but put polyester inside. It's called sin. Listen to me, whether you find out or you don't, that is, whether your customer finds out or not, you have closed a bigger door for breakthrough against yourself. Listen, a lot of men in life, they made a 100 million naira doing business. And because they came out of the village of poor people, their father is poor, their mother is poor, their cousins are farmers and poor, they are still tapping palm wine and, you know, and harvesting palm fruit. When they made 100 million, bought a Hummer and built a duplex at home, one in Lagos, you know, suddenly he feels rich. Then when he comes home for Christmas at the family meeting, nobody else should talk again. Because he made 100 million. And God is looking and laughing. And the angels are shedding tears. See, look at this goat. We ordained that it should be giving out 100 million every quarter for charitable causes. He has closed the door, but he has made 100 million. So he's happy because everybody around him is poor. So he thinks he's rich. That's why you must never judge yourself by other people. That's why, look, don't compete with anybody. Because right now you are competing with those who are in front of you. A day will come, you'll be competing with those who are behind you, which means you are not going anywhere again. They say, run. He said, they never even catch up where I reach. Then you go stop. God will say, meanwhile, I gave you legs to run 7 times as fast as there. But just because you are 1 step in front of them, you slow down. As the man is rejoicing over the 100 million he has, he doesn't realize that he was ordained not to make 100 million, but to give out 100 million every quarter to charitable causes for the amount of prosperity God will have poured into his hands. But cheating has closed the door. But that cheating gave him 100 million. Are you seeing the point? You build a filling station, you rig the pump small, and you are building houses, and you are rejoicing. And the angels are saying, hey, this guy is blind. Go and listen to our series, The Fruitful Life. I explained it there. That what sin does is that it blinds you. As you are making extra money from that pump, you are closing the ability to own refineries. It's one filling station you are seeing. What God is seeing is one refinery in Enugu, another one in the maybe near Abuja, one in Cameroon, one in Ivory Coast, and one in Singapore. That's what God is seeing. What God is seeing is at least 2 tankers. I mean, I don't mean 4 tankers, road tankers. I mean ships that carry crude and one that carries liquefied gas. That's what God is seeing. But Satan says, bow before me, I will make you rich. What does it mean to bow to Satan? He said, nah, life is hard. This, just rig the pumps, monsters of 10 liters, give them 8.5. They won't know. That's why God doesn't recall sin in heaven, doesn't have time. The sin is worrying you enough on the earth. Let me say this one. I like to say it because it's true. When you see big men, once they become rich, then they can add a new girlfriend, one on campus here, one when he goes abroad, and you know that kind of thing. And then, after I'm still taking care of my wife, you know that kind of thing. What he doesn't realize is that he stepped into a realm where he can trade in hundreds of millions of naira. Adultery left him of that realm. He would never go beyond that level. If he had kept himself pure, in another 5 years, he won't be talking in hundreds of millions of naira. He'll be talking in hundreds of millions of dollars. If he had maintained his marital integrity, his children would have been, that is, by the time they are 25, 30, all right? He will be handing to them companies to manage for him, and they will be valuing each company at 2 billion naira, and he's giving that to a 25-year-old boy. But because he came from a heritage of poverty, I wish you'll understand that, believe me, a lot of us are very poor. Nigerians, Africans, we are still very poor. Therefore, don't be excited when you buy a car. If I were the pastor of a big church, No, I will ban everybody from testifying they bought a car. Tell me privately, I'm not saying it on the pulpit. I will never say it on the pulpit. I think it has run all of us mental. You buy one 10-year-old Toyota Corolla that was being driven by a part-time student in America. And you come to church, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't my God good? Isn't my God good? As if your car has improved the goodness of God. The heritage of poverty. I'm sorry, you know, it's not your fault, you know, it's not my fault, it's our fault, you know what I'm saying, it's all of us. What I'm going to say, we don't reach for great, you know, I told you, look, there's one problem, look at Africans, at least, correct me if I'm wrong. How many of you speak Igbo here? Okay, I need just 2 people to put up their hands. Tell me the word for 1 billion in Igbo. Give me the word for 1 million. And I don't want multiplication, no. Because, look, I'm a Yoruba man, In Yoruba, too, the biggest word we have is for 50,000. Every other thing is multiplication or a recent development. No, there are words that are recent. You don't know that? No, you can have a word for uncountable. You know, there's Africans tend to have words for a few hundreds, a few thousands, then they now jump to uncountable. Now, look, please correct me if I'm wrong, but generally I've looked around. I'm bringing an issue. We don't count.